Welcome back. My name is Kelly Patterson, and I am co-hosting today's show with Maria Bailey. We are very excited for today's guest. She is near and dear to me and no stranger to the show, Christina Michelle. Christina, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Maria. Thank you for having me today as a guest. This is a little bit different, but I'm excited about it. I'm Christina Michelle Patterson. I usually just go by Christina Michelle. I am a resident of Juneau, a member of the Black Awareness Association, and I am a female entrepreneur. I help women to clear blockages to self-worth and self-love, and I help them to put a game plan together to accomplish goals. And I do this through coaching, hypnotherapy, and a new service that I just started, which is called Yoni Steaming or Bee Steaming. So I really focus on the mind, body, and spirit in everything that I do. And I'm excited to be here.
Thank you, Christina. So we hear you on the radio almost every week, but who is Christina Michelle really? Take us through the Cliff Notes version of your life and who you are.
Okay. I don't know if I have Cliff Notes for anything, but I'll try. So I'm an Alaska girl born and raised. I was born in Anchorage and raised in Juneau. My dad was in the military and we were stationed, I think, in Fort Greeley or Fairbanks or somewhere around there. It's been so long. I was a little kid when we left Anchorage, but he was stationed there for a few years. And then we came to Juneau when he got out of the military and he started pastoring here. And that was pretty much it. I don't know that my family meant to stay here forever, but he took over a church here and he was going to be the interim pastor for a few months. And it turned into several years. And here I am. And, you know, my parents are both from the South originally. They're both from Louisiana. And my dad was born in, he's from Alaska, but my grandparents on my dad's side are from Louisiana. And my mom and her parents are from Louisiana. So my roots are kind of Southern, but I was born here. And my parents met because my dad was here and my mom came to actually visit my uncle, her brother, who was also stationed in the Army outside of Anchorage. And she came to visit him on her summer break after high school, after she graduated. And she ended up meeting my dad and they fell in love. And so instead of being here for the summer just to see her brother, she ended up staying here and marrying my dad. And then along came me and my brother.
And then what did you do after here? Have you lived here ever since then? Did you leave and come back?
I definitely left and came back. So I graduated from Juneau Douglas High School and I was on the first plane smoking. I went to go see the world, or I thought that's what I was going to do. And my parents actually had to push me out of the door because I didn't know anything other than Juneau. And I had my friends here and, you know, I had done some traveling, but not a lot. So I was a little bit nervous about leaving the island, I like to call it, being here. But once I wrapped my brain around it, and I think once I actually got accepted into college, that's when I was like, wow, you know, there's like, this is really happening. I could do this. And so I got really excited and I was happy to go explore. So I did leave the summer after I graduated from high school and I went to college at the time it was called Southern California College. And it's now known as Vanguard University of Southern California, and it's in Costa Mesa. And so I was there for almost 4 years. And I actually left my senior year there and went to Costa Rica. And that's kind of I guess we could get into that later, but it's not really like, I don't know if it's that important, but I went to live in Costa Rica for 3 months with a family that I did not know, and they were amazing. They took care of me. And, you know, that was shortly after my dad and my mom divorced pretty suddenly. And I just I didn't want to come back to Juneau, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And, you know, my dad withdrew his financial support and decided he wasn't paying for my last year of college. And so it was a lot of stuff going on. So yeah, I ended up in Costa Rica for a little while and eventually made my way back to California. And that's where I lived and built my life for the next 12 years. And then I came back to Juneau about 4 years ago. That kind of was a little bit by accident. I came for a Christmas break, and I ended up staying for 4 years, technically. Juno does do that to Juno you. It's so charming and beautiful, and the people here are so kind. And then coming from California, where it's, you know, you have to like look out for yourself. I was just talking to my friend who was visiting here from California, and we were just talking about the weather because he's like, oh my gosh, Juno turned on me, because it was like so beautiful his first 2 days here. And then it just completely dumped last Monday, and it just like snowed, and he's like, what happened? And so, you know, we were just talking about the nuances of anywhere that you live. And we were laughing because I was like, yeah, in California, you don't have to look out for weather or bears. You know, you have to look out for people, you know, because it's the people that'll get you. You know? So it was really refreshing after spending 12 years in Southern California. Not that it wasn't amazing, and not to say there's not great people there, because I built a family there too. But, you know, to come back to Juneau, which is, you know, very community oriented and family oriented, it's been refreshing. And to be close to my family again, it had been a long time that I was, you know, just here with my mom and my brother and with my sister and my niece and nephew. And so, yeah, it's been amazing.
Thank you. That was so interesting. As we listen to the radio for week after week, we don't get a whole lot of details about your life. So that was fun. That was lots of fun. So we, I know that earlier you talked about, you know, as a profession and as an entrepreneur, you deal a lot with women and women's emotional and mental health. And in honor of Women's History Month, to close it out, we wanted to just talk to you about self-care and just get your take on self-care. You are our family expert on self-care, and you remind us to do self-care. So we just really wanted to take care of the ladies today and talk about self-care.
That sounds good.
So Christina, what is self-care? How do you define that?
Not to oversimplify it, but honestly, just taking care of yourself and doing it mind, body, and spirit. And I think that as women, we kind of overlook that. I think we know that we should do it and it sounds great, but when it comes down to it, a lot of times we're so quick to make sure that other people are taken care of in our lives that we put our own self-care on the back burner.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that that is a struggle that women have in general, is just feeling like you deserve self-care. With that being said, what are some of the other struggles that women have with self-care?
Well, I think knowing what self-care is for you as an individual, because sometimes it takes some time to know what that is. And if you're just getting into practicing self-care, you might have a tendency to try anything that's labeled self-care, you know? And so you're like, oh, you know, this person works out all the time and she said that's her self-care routine, and so I'm going to do that. And then you find that you're not really built up by that. It's not your thing. And so then you might try something else that somebody labels as self-care for themselves. And then it can just feel like, well, I'm not really feeling like I'm getting what I need out of this self-care, and I'm saying that with air quotes, routine. And so really knowing yourself and what you need and what self-care is to you can be a obstacle. I think another thing is time. I know a lot of women that say, I just don't have the time. And, you know, with kids and with spouses and businesses and other family obligations, they have a hard time scheduling it in. So that can be a big obstacle. And I think also just knowing that you're worth that time or money, because money can be a big thing too. And so, you know, if they're like, well, my self-care routine has to cost money, and right now I don't have money to, you know, take myself to get my nails done or to spend a ton of money on my hair or Or they might feel like, well, if I do something for myself, I also have to spend money on my kids and I can't afford both. And so then they won't do either. So I would say those are probably the top three obstacles that I hear to practicing self-care.
So I was told that using a vision board would help with kind of moving you in that direction of self-care. Could you explain what a vision board is?
Yes, I'm passionate about vision boards. So a vision board is a poster board that has images of things that you want to either accomplish or want to bring more of into your life. And the way it works is, well, the way that I teach vision boarding is we go through a process where we do like a meditation to help you just kind of calm your mind and tap into your inner self. And then we do what's called the be, do, have. And so I have you think about who and how you want to be over the coming, you know, 6 months to a year or whatever timeline you want to set for yourself. And then as that person, then what do you want to do? And so you'll just list those things out. And then what would you like to have? And so that can be, you know, anything from having more free time to having things that are material. And then after you make your list, then you'll go through a stack of magazines or maybe images you found on the internet or pictures that you've collected around your home. And you'll just start to do the flip process where you just kind of flip through the images and you see what calls out to you based on what intention you set for your be, do, have. After that process, sometimes you'll end up eliminating some pictures because you might have chosen like 100 of them, you know, but you'll get it down to what's comfortable for you. And then you arrange it on a poster board and then you decorate it and you make it really pretty. I like putting a picture of myself right in the middle of it because it's like seeing me in the middle of what I want to create or attract for myself. And then the goal is that you would look at your vision board every day, multiple times a day, if you can. And that just helps you to stay connected and aligned to what it is that you want to create. So that's a great self-care thing that you can do. I mean, just the exercise alone of creating the vision board can be very self-care-ish. And then, of course, looking at your vision board all the time, because when you look at it, it should instantly catapult you into that life that you're trying to manifest.
Yeah, that's good. And it's interesting because we did a vision board as a family and we focused on like what we wanted the family.
I love that idea.
So it's nice that even with your vision board, you can say, like, I've heard people say, this is my travel vision board, or this is my family vision board. Yeah. This is the vision board just for me. And they just have vision boards everywhere. And they are so fun. Like, I was hesitant to do one for a long time. And then I finally did one and I really enjoyed myself. So I am pro vision board.
Yay!
We'll have to get you to do one next time, Maria. Oh. You'll have to come and do a vision board. Well, you know, it's time to take a short break,
absolutely.
But we will be right back and talk some more about self-care.